chapter 1 of the second canto. And Sukadeva Goswami began to speak for the first time in the Bhagavatam. And his first words were in glorification of the question asked by Prickett Maharaj, who was cursed to die within 7 days. Prickett Maharaj wished to know whether his natural inclination to hear about Krishna at this time was the best and most appropriate desire, best and most appropriate action for him to engage in. Because after all, one doesn't want to make any mistakes at the time of death. So Sukadeva Goswami immediately glorified the question. And the reason why that the question is glorious is because it evokes Krishna Katha. And Krishna Katha is what Sukadeva Goswami responds with. And the Krishna Katha that he responds with is the Srimad Bhagavatam in 18,000 verses. Yes, to hear about Krishna is the best thing for everyone, regardless of their situation in life, regardless of how close or far they are from death, regardless of their mentality. Hearing about Krishna is the essence of the best kind of activity. And that is the essential message of the Bhagavatam. So Sukadeva, after glorifying the question, because it evokes Krishna Katha, he criticizes those who do not know that their days are being lost as the sun rises and the sun sets. Their days are lost with no tangible gain whatsoever. So, griheshu grihamedinam. He criticizes the grihamedis who are involved eating, sleeping, mating, defending, eating, sleeping, mating, and defending deha patra kalatra leshu atmasanyasa satsvapi kesam pramata, maddened by their attachment to their family members and entangled so much in that mentality, making friends, making enemies based on sense gratification, so entangled in that mentality, they don't see how their life is escaping them day by day. Maddened, intoxicated by this consciousness, they cannot see what is actually going on. The black snake of time, as Vidura told Dhritarashtra, is approaching, coming to swallow you. So, rather than engaging like them, like these type of people, the transcendentalists, the devotees, take pleasure in hearing about Krishna. Because, and this is very important, the point is very important for someone like Prickett Maharaj, whose death is coming so soon, because hearing Krishna Katha focuses one's consciousness on Krishna, so that at the time of one's death, one will be able to focus one's consciousness on Krishna with great devotion. It cultivates that devotion for Krishna. And thereby, one's consciousness will be full of Krishna when one leaves this world. And then saratad bhava bharata, whatever one's consciousness is fixed on, is whatever permeates one's consciousness at the time of death, one is transferred to his next body based on that adishya manasthayam vishya sevate, based on what is our mind is full of, that attracts a gross body, Shrotram Chakshus Sparshanam Cha Rasanam Ghanam Eva Cha. We get ears, eyes, nose, etc., and tongue, a specific one, based on the mentality that we have at the time when we leave this body. So therefore, how important is it that at the last moment of our lives we focus our mind on Krishna, and how important it is in preparation for that, therefore, that we always focus our mind on Krishna. And this is really the business of the message of the Krishna consciousness movement to the world, that we use our life responsibly to focus our mind on Krishna and give up so much other talk and thinking and hearing, and focus our mind on Krishna. Ikeha kurunandana dhyavyasatvika buddhi, with a focused intelligence, consciousness, ikeha, just one pointed, then it becomes very powerful that if it is one pointed. So, then, in the seventh verse, the last one we read yesterday, Sukadeva Goswami said that the sages, this is what they do. Even the ones who are liberated above the rules and regulations, they take great pleasure in describing the glories of the Lord, absorbing their consciousness in Krishna. And then, as an example of the sages that do that, Sukadeva Goswami says, Idam Bhagavatam Nama Puranam Brahmasamitam, that I myself, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, I studied this great supplement of Vedic literature named Srimad Bhagavatam. He himself did this, which is equal to all the Vedas. I studied this for my father, Srila Dwapayana Vyas, Krishna Dwapayana Vyas. I took the trouble. This point was brought out in the earlier on in the first canto. The question was asked, and I believe in the seventh chapter of the first canto. The question was, after Vyasadeva realized the absolute truth of meditation, he taught it to Sukadeva Goswami. He taught the Bhagavatam, which was the mature fruit of his realization. He taught that to Sukadeva Goswami, who was already a liberated and realized soul. So why, the question was asked, did such a person who already was self-satisfied, he had no desires, why did he take the trouble to undergo the difficulties to study a whole nother scriptures? A whole nother scripture. And the answer was given in a very important verse, which Chaitanya Mahaprabhu described so many times in so many different ways. Atmaramas cha munayo nagrantapi urkrame korvanti ahaituki bhaktir itam guna itam bhuta gunahari. That even all kinds of atmaramas, atmarama means one who is self-satisfied, one who already is satisfied, they still will take the pleasure, they will get great pleasure in studying the Bhagavatam, because it is full of the wonderful characteristics of and qualities of Hari, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. So even if one is liberated, which Sukadeva Goswami was, still with great pleasure he studied the Bhagavatam, he was attracted to hearing it. Because Sukadeva Goswami was now going to speak this, and he says in the ninth verse, O saintly king, I was certainly situated perfectly in transcendence, yet I was still attracted to the delineation of the pastimes of the Lord, who was described by enlightened verses. And then in 10, that very Srimad Bhagavatam, so he's encouraging Maharaj Prickett, I shall recite that very same Srimad Bhagavatam to you that is so pleasing that liberated souls and I myself were attracted to hear these messages. So I'm now going to describe that to you. Why? because you are the most sincere devotee of the Lord, of Lord Krishna. We'll come back to that verse in a moment. But first, I'd like to read some of, going back to 8, where Sukadeva Goswami says that I heard this Bhagavatam from my father Vyasadeva. So, here in the purport, Prabhupada says, the statement made by Srila Sukadeva Goswami that the topmost transcendentalist, who is beyond the jurisdiction of regulations and restrictions, they mainly take to the task of hearing about and glorifying the personality of Godhead. It is verified by his personal example. Sukadeva Goswami, being a recognized liberated soul and the topmost transcendentalist, was accepted by all the topmost sages present in the meeting during the last days of Maharaj Prickett. He cites from the example of his life that he himself was attracted by the transcendental activities of the Lord. So how attractive those activities actually are. Just like a person who has $1 million, he's not attracted by going on the dole and getting $120 a week or something like that. He's not attracted by getting some 9-to-5 job where he's going to earn $10-$15 an hour or something like that. He has millions of dollars. But what does attract him? What kind of activities do attract such a person? Those must be so enjoyable on that level of enjoyment. So for the transcendentalists who are already liberated, who have already achieved the results of so many processes, what activities attract them? What activities which are beyond the modes of material nature do they find pleasing? And the answer is, They are so attracted to hearing and chanting the glories of Krishna. So what pleasure is within the glories and qualities and pastimes of Krishna? Actually, those pastimes of Krishna, those glories of Krishna, those qualities of Krishna, they are not composed of the material energy. Rather, they are the internal energy of Krishna. When the soul contacts those, then he gets surcharged with that internal energy. And as we heard previously in the first canto, when Arjuna, as soon as Arjuna and Yudhisthira Maharaj remembered the pastimes of Krishna and the words of Krishna, because they were already free from the material energy, they immediately began associating with Krishna. So if someone on a lower level hears the pastimes of Krishna and the glories of Krishna and the words describing Krishna, then the result is he is purified. And if one keeps on hearing, when one is already pure, when one becomes free from material nature, one can actually experience and associate with Krishna to those same words. But there are some, sometimes we see some sale or some offer advertised, and they say, conditions apply. So in this, there are conditions that are applied. Here's what they are. Srimad Bhagavatam, or for that matter any scientific literature, cannot be studied at home by one's own intellectual capacity. Medical books of anatomy or physiology are available on the market, but no one can become a qualified medical practitioner simply by reading such books at home. One has to be admitted to the medical college and study the books under the guidance of learned professors. Similarly, Srimad Bhagavatam, the postgraduate study of the science of Godhead, can only be learned by studying it at the feet of a self-realized soul like Srila Vyasadeva. Although Sukadeva Goswami was a liberated soul from the very day of his birth, he still had to take lessons of Srimad Bhagavatam from his great father Vyasadeva, who compiled the Srimad Bhagavatam under the instructions of another great soul, Sri Narada Muni. Lord Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu instructed a learned Brahmana to study Srimad Bhagavatam from a personal Bhagavata. Okay. Could you put the tape on? And then I'll tell you when to turn it off. Louder.
Jivan samo bhagavatam divinum najatamattu vilavita dastu. Reno means dust. If one does not try to secure the dust of the lotus feet of Bhagavatam, Bhagavatam means pure devotee of the Lord. One Bhagavata is this Bhu Bhagavata, another Bhagavata is Parsan Bhagavata, who lives on the Bhu Bhagavata. He is Parsan Bhagavata. Two kinds of Bhagavata. So we have to learn Bhagavatam from the living Bhagavata. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu secretary, Sarup Damodar, he advised one Brahmana wrote something around our Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. There are many poets and writers used to come and visit Chaitanya Mahaprabhu when he was at Jagannath Puri, and they would present some writings, but these writings could not be presented before Chaitanya Mahaprabhu unless it was sanctioned by the secretary, Sarup Damodar. That was the system. So, one Brahmana, he wrote one poetry that the purpose of the poetry was that Jagannath is Krishna, but he cannot move, he is wooden Krishna. And Chaitanya Mahaprabhu is also Krishna, but he is moving Krishna. That means he distinguishes between Jagannath and Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. So this is not Siddhanta, this is not conclusion of the Shastra. Shastra conclusion is the Diti and Krishna, the same. There is no difference. We have many times explained this. Diti, the worshipful Diti in the temple, is not different from Krishna. So, Sarup Damodar did not approve of the poet to be presented to Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. At that time, he chastised him that he do not know the conclusion and you dare to write some poetry. Don't do this. And he said, Bhagavata Paramahaya Bhagavata Sthana. If you want to understand Srimad Bhagavatam, then you go and study Srimad Bhagavatam from the pure devotee. Then you will understand. Otherwise, he will write all this nonsense. Bhagavata Parodhya Bhagavata. So one Bhagavata, the two Bhagavata. You study Srimad Bhagavatam from living Bhagavata. So, if one does not take or does not surrender unto the living Bhagavata, he cannot understand Srimad Bhagavata. Many scholarly, learned scholars, Sanskrit scholars, they cannot understand Bhagavata. I have seen many scholars. They cannot understand Bhagavata. Sanskrit scholars, they read, but they will not be able to understand. Similarly, Bhagavad Gita also. When one studies Bhagavad Gita from scholarly point of view, A, B, C, D, they will not understand. Krishna therefore said that Arjuna, I shall speak the lessons of Bhagavatam to you because you are my very dear friend, and you are my devotee. Krishna did not want to speak Bhagavad Gita to a scholarly student. No. These books are not to be understood by mundane scholarship. That is not possible. All the Vedic are. There is a big commentary on Bhagavad Gita by a great scholar and political leader, Lokmanya Tilak. So, one of these devotees, really he is also a politician, when I was in London, 1968. So, he has got a society there, preaching the Tilak's political view like that. He has got a... So, he came to see me, and he was very much apologizing Lokmanya Tilak that he has written his big commentary, Karma Yoga. So he wanted to invite me in talk, Tilak's great talk. So I told him that Tilak does not understand Bhagavad Gita. So immediately he was surprised. Then he had a talk and I convinced him that Tilak was a politician, maybe a big scholar, but that does not mean he can understand Bhagavad Gita. Bhagavad Gita is understood.
Not quite yet. Okay. Bhagavad Gita is understood by devotee, Prabhupada says. So, both the speaker, Sukadeva Goswami, and the hearer, Maharaj Prickett, were preeminently qualified. So, in text 10, Sukadev continues, "That very Srimad Bhagavatam I shall recite before you because you are the most sincere devotee of Lord Krishna. One who gives full attention and respect to hearing Srimad Bhagavatam achieves unflinching faith in the Supreme Lord, the giver of salvation. Syan Mukunde Mati Sati." So when the disciple and the spiritual master are both qualified, as Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Prickett were, then the full transference of spiritual knowledge occurs. It's not, as Prabhupada explains in the purport, it's not magic or a transferring of getting a shock or anything like that. But yet, that is the system for transferring the spiritual energy. This teaching is imparted by the Lord Himself in the pages of the Bhagavad Gita, in which it is clearly described that the Lord, Sri Krishna, is everything, and that to surrender unto Him solely and wholly makes one the most perfectly pious man. This unflinching faith in Lord Krishna prepares one to become a student of Srimad Bhagavatam. And one who hears Srimad Bhagavatam from a devotee like Sukadeva Goswami is sure to attain salvation at the end, as Maharaj Prickett did. And then on the next page. Anyone who hears Srimad Bhagavatam attentively from its bona fide reciter is sure to become a sincere devotee of the Lord, who is able to award liberation. There was none so attentive as Maharaj Prickett in the matter of hearing Srimad Bhagavatam. And there was none so qualified as Sukadeva Goswami to recite the text of Srimad Bhagavatam. Therefore, anyone who follows in the footsteps of either the ideal reciter or the ideal hearer, Sukadeva Goswami and Maharaj Prickett respectively, will undoubtedly attain salvation like them, Maharaj Prickett attained salvation by hearing only, and Sukadeva Goswami attained salvation only by reciting. Recitation and hearing are two processes out of 9 devotional activities. And by strenuously following the principles, either in all or by parts, one can attain the absolute plane. So, this is the fear of everyone who is about to die. What's going to happen to me? So Maharaj Prickett is being encouraged by Sukadev that if you hear this Bhagavatam, you are already so qualified. If you hear this Bhagavatam, you are going to attain the absolute platform. You will go back to Godhead upon the death of your body. So he's encouraging him. And in the next verse, etanna vidyamananam itsitam makuto vayam yoginam ripa nirnitam harinam anukirtanam. A very sweet and famous verse. O King, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the waves of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. Prabhupada lectured on this verse. I'll read some of his lecture, where he describes this verse very, very simply and sweetly. There are 3 classes of men. One class of men, kamis, they are trying to enjoy the material resources. It's sitam, always desire. I want this, I want this, I want this. Another class, they are constantly what is called frustrated. After trying their utmost, I want this, I want this, I want this, when at the end they do not get anything, he is frustrated. This is called nividya. I don't want. Or actually, one is satiated or disgusted. No more material world. I don't want it. That is called nividyamananam. So the one class is trying to possess and the other class is trying to renounce. I don't want. And another class is akutobayam. Akutobayam. Who is akutobayam? Akutobayam means one who does not fear. And who does not fear? Because fearfulness is one of the items of our conditioned life, ahara, nidra, vaya, maituna, eating, sleeping, fearing, and mating. So who is without any fear? That means he is also liberated. He is not on the material platform. He is transcendental. Who is out of the limits of fearfulness? So akutobayam means the devotees. The devotees, just like Prahlad Maharaj, his father teased him in so many ways. But he was not at all fearful. He was simply thinking of Nrisimhadev, and he was fearless. So only the devotee who is fully surrendered to Krishna, he can be fearless. Narayana paraksave nakutasthana vibhyati. Narayana para means devotees who have dedicated their lives to the service of Narayan, Krishna. Nakutasthana vibhyati, he does not fear in any condition of life. So here, itstitam akuta. Itstitam means those who are desiring. Nividyamananam means those who are not desiring, renouncing. And the other class, akutobayam, fearless. And yoginam, another class, mystic yogis. So generally, these 4 classes of men are there. So Sukadeva Goswami says that for all of them, either he is kami, or he is jnani, or he is yogi, or he is bhakta, Kami means fruit of worker, and Jnani means empiric philosophers and yogis, mystics, and bhaktas, the devotees. Generally, there are these four classes of men. So Sukadeva Goswami gives his judgment, Nripa, my dear king, for all these classes of men, Nirnitam, it is already decided. This is the Vedic conclusion. You haven't got to search out. You have to take information from the authority. So here, Sukadeva Goswami is authority that for all these classes of men, this is decided conclusively. What is that? Harinam Anukirtanam. Chant Hare Krishna. Either you are Jnani, either you are yogi, either you are Kami, either you are desiring something or you are not desiring something. You may have your objective, your perfection of life. So if you want that, then chant Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Thank you very much. I'll read the verse again. Etanna vidyamananam. So that means those who are navidyamananam. What does navidyamananam mean? Renounced, frustrated. I've had enough. Ittitam akuto bayam. What is ittitam? Ittitam. Desiring. I have so many desires. Akuto bayam. The fearless. Those are the devotees. And ittitam, the karmis. Yoginam ripa nirnitam. Yoginam means the yogis. Nripa means, O king. Nirnitam, it is decided. What is decided? Harinam Anukirtanam. Anukirtanam means following in the ways of the authorities. Chant Hare Krishna. O king, constant chanting of the holy name of the Lord after the ways of the great authorities is the doubtless and fearless way of success for all, including those who are free from all material desires, those who are desirous of all material enjoyment, and also those who are self-satisfied by dint of transcendental knowledge. So in this regard, in this continuing encouragement to Maharaj Prickett, Sukadeva Goswami explains to chant, to hear, this is the essence of everything, of all good advice. So in this regard, Srila Jiva Goswami says, the previous verse describes the glories of Srimad Bhagavatam. Now Sukadeva instructs about the main subject, chanting the holy name. And Srila Sridhar Swami says, nothing is more beneficial than chanting the Lord's holy names. And again, Srila Jiva Goswami says, but the offenses against the holy name must be avoided to attain the results. So Srila Prabhupada, in his purport, in this and the following purport, he describes the offenses against the holy name. There are 10 offenses against the holy name, and one should avoid these if one wants to get the result. And what is the result? Krishna prema. If one wants to get the actual result that can come from chanting the holy name, to be situated in our constitutional position as Krishna's servant, as a lover of Krishna in one of the rasas, in one of the spiritual, eternal relationships with Krishna, either as parent, as lover, as friend, as servant, then one has to chant with great devotion and with no offenses. So we'll read some of Prabhupada's purport to this verse. In this verse, Srila Sukadeva Goswami recommends the transcendental chanting of the holy name of the Lord. By offenseless chanting and hearing of the holy name of the Lord, one becomes acquainted with the transcendental form of the Lord. And then with the attributes of the Lord, and then with the transcendental nature of his pastimes, etc. Here it is mentioned that one should constantly chant the holy name of the Lord after hearing it from authorities. This means that hearing from the authorities is the first essential. Hearing of the holy name gradually promotes one to the stage of hearing about his form, about his attributes, his pastimes, and so on. And thus, the necessity of the chanting of his glories develops successively. This process is recommended not only for the successful execution of devotional service, but also even for those who are materially attached. According to Srila Sukadev Goswami, this way of attaining success is an established fact, concluded not only by him, but also by all other previous acharyas. Therefore, there is no need of further evidence. The process is recommended not only for the progressive students in different departments of ideological success, but also for those who are already successful in their achievements as fruitive workers, as philosophers, or as devotees of the Lord. Srila Jiva Goswami instructs that chanting of the holy name of the Lord should be loudly done, and it should be performed offenselessly as well, as recommended in the Padma Purana. One can deliver himself from the effects of all sins by surrendering himself unto the Lord. One can deliver himself from all offenses at the feet of the Lord by taking shelter of his holy name. But one cannot protect himself if one commits an offense at the feet of the holy name of the Lord. Such offenses are mentioned in the Padma Purana as being 10 in number. So every day we should be very conscious of the offenses against the holy name of the Lord, which are offenses against devotional service. And we should avoid them very, very carefully. We should fear them, especially sato nindam parama apararam vitanute, especially offending the devotees, especially that one. And in this way, we'll make very rapid advancement in our Krishna consciousness. So I highly and strongly recommend that everyone read the description of the 10 offenses that Prabhupada gives in his purport to text 11. Now, Sukadev Goswami, again, wishing to encourage, he's gotten to the essence. He's criticized the materialists who hear so many things. He says that even he hears the Bhagavatam, the sages hear the Bhagavatam, even he hears the Bhagavatam, and he's now going to recite that Bhagavatam to Sukadev Goswami, which will fix Sukadev Goswami in full faith in Krishna. And then he explained this Harinam Anukirtanam, the Vidyama Nirnritam, that this is the conclusion end of all the Siddhanta. The final conclusion is that one should chant Hare Krishna with great devotion, avoiding the offenses. And now to encourage him further, because Sukadev wishes, because he has to keep him lively and understanding the great hope that awaits him, he tells Maharaj Prickett, who has only a few days to live, that in text 12, that don't think that you are unfortunate. Because naturally one thinks that if one is living for thousands of hundreds of years, tens of years, practically speaking, one measures one's longevity, one measures one's fortune. That's one of the main measures of one's longevity. Excuse me, one's longevity is one of the main measures of one's fortune. But here, so looking at it from that point of view, Maharaj Prickett would be considered most unfortunate. But here, Sukadev, to encourage him, says, what is the value of a prolonged life which is wasted, inexperienced by years in this world? Better a moment of full consciousness, because that gives one a start in searching after his supreme interest. So better to have one's consciousness fully fixed, awake to the fact, to the realization of the nature of the material world. Even a moment of that, which will bring one to inquiring about what is the purpose of life and why am I here and why are things organized the way they are. At least that is so much better than a long life like a tree, which lives so long, but it doesn't accomplish anything, only sucking water. Its whole existence is sucking water. So what is the value of that? Just nourishing oneself to give birth to little baby trees? What is the value of that? Better to understand the nature of the soul, even if it is only for one moment, so you have 7 days to prepare yourself, and in that time you will hear everything up to the topmost, the highest principles of spiritual life that will bring you fully developed into your relationship with Krishna. And then to give an example of someone who was similarly fortunate, as Maharaj Prickett was similarly fortunate. Text 13. The saintly king, King Katvanga, after being informed that the duration of his life would only be a moment more, at once freed himself from all material activities and took shelter of the supreme safety, the personality of Godhead. So Katvanga Maharaj, Prabhupada explains in the purport that he was fighting a great warrior, and his pastimes are described in the 9th canto of the Bhagavatam. He was a great warrior and he was requested by the demigods to fight on their behalf against the asuras, the demon. And he did so well that the demigod said to him, whatever you want, we'll give you. And what did he ask for? He said, I want to know how much longer I have to live. So he was told, only a moment more. So immediately he left the heavenly planets where he was fighting. And Sridhar Swami explains that he left the heavenly planets because he didn't want to become enamored by material enjoyment. And he went to the earth and he focused his mind on Krishna. And therefore he was liberated when he died and his life was fully successful. So who is fortunate and who is unfortunate? Very hard to tell in this world, except for the devotees, those who can focus, absorb their mind in transcendence. That truly is the only fortunate thing in this world. There's a question, the Sanskrit word for fortune is subh, and asubh means unfortunateness, auspiciousness, inauspiciousness. So good things in the material world and bad things, subh, asubh, they are both asubh, unfortunate. And actually speaking, for a devotee, only fortunate things happen to him. Because everything that happens to him just simply deepens his devotion to Krishna. This is devotee. This is actually what it means to be a devotee. That Krishna's mercy is seen in everything. And then in text 14, after describing the example of Katvanga Maharaj, he says, now, Parikit Maharaj, your duration of life is limited to 7 more days. So you're fortunate. Katvanga Maharaj had a moment. So during this time, you can perform all those rituals which are needed for the best purpose of your next life. And here, Srila Prabhupada's purport is short. Sukadev Goswami, after citing the example of Maharaj Katvanga, who prepared himself for the next life within a very short time, encouraged Maharaj Prickett by saying that since he had still had 7 days at his disposal, he could easily take advantage of the time to prepare himself for the next life. Indirectly, the Goswami told Maharaj Prickett that he should take shelter of the sound representation of the Lord for the 7 days still remaining in the duration of his life, and thus get himself liberated. In other words, everyone can best prepare himself for the next life simply by hearing Srimad Bhagavatam as it was recited by Sukadeva Goswami to Maharaj Prickett. The rituals are not formal, but there are also some favorable conditions which are required to be carried out as instructed hereafter. So what is required that one do? There are two things. So two things. One has been described as one has to hear about Krishna, hear about spiritual matters, focus his mind on Krishna, increase his devotion to Krishna, and on the other side, antakale tu purusha agate gata sadvasa chindyad asanga sastrena spriham dehi nuye chatam. At the last stage of one's life, one should be bold enough not to be afraid of death. That means that one has to be quite realized as to who one is, that one is not one's body, that one is Krishna's servant, that one is spiritual, that one is eternal, that one is his soul. One has to be quite realized to be free from fear at the time of death, but one must cut off all attachment to the material body and everything pertaining to it and all desires thereof. We're going to read parts of Prabhupada's purport, and this is the last verse we'll read today. Which really, this purport is showing the situation, or more or less outlining the situation, and giving in a very direct way to give those who lack spiritual knowledge or the light of spiritual knowledge to dispel their darkness and give them direction. The foolishness of gross materialism is that people think of making a permanent settlement in this world. Philosophers, etc., who are foolish, without any information of the spirit soul, think that this life of a few years only is all in all, and that there is nothing more after death. So just imagine if one thinks that there's nothing more after death, and one's so addicted to enjoying and doing what one wants, and especially the more powerful or bigger a personality one is in the material world, one is quite addicted to having things one's own way and doing just what one wants when one wants it. So when death is approaching for such a person, on one hand, there is the end of all his enjoyment. And then on the other hand, they think that there's nothing more after death. So what a horrible situation. Fearful, misery bringing. It's no wonder that they try to avoid it, thinking about it. But this is a poor fund of knowledge. Even in the so-called learned circles of the world, this poor fund of knowledge is killing the vitality of human energy. And the awful result is being keenly felt. And yet, the foolish materialistic men do not care about what is going to happen in the next life. The preliminary instruction in the Bhagavad Gita is that one should know that the identity of the individual living entity is not lost even after the end of this present body. So what a valuable piece of information that is. It will give people hope. Otherwise, the situation we've described People are enjoyment, and their enjoyment is finished, and they have no hope. So they will get some hope, and it will change how they view everything. And it will change their activities. So what a blessing this distribution of transcendental knowledge is. The identity of the individual living entity is not lost even after the end of this present body, which is nothing but an outward dress only. As one changes an old garment, so the individual living being also changes his body. And this change of body is called death. Death is therefore a process of changing the body at the end of the duration of the present life. An intelligent person must be prepared for this. An intelligent person doesn't turn his back and forget it's going to happen. And he must try to have the best type of body in his next life. The best type of body is a spiritual body, which is obtained by those who go back to the kingdom of God or enter into the realm of Brahman. In the second chapter of this canto, this matter will be broadly discussed. But as far as the change of body is concerned, one must prepare now for the next life. Foolish people attach more importance to the present temporary life, and thus the foolish leaders make appeals to the body and the bodily relations. The bodily relations extend not only to this body, but also to the family members, wife, children, society, country, and so many other things which end at the end of life. After death, one forgets everything about the present bodily relations. We have a little experience of this at night when we go to sleep. While sleeping, we forget everything about this body and bodily relations, although this forgetfulness is a temporary situation for only a few hours. Death is nothing but sleeping for a few months in order to develop another term of bodily encagement, which we are awarded by the law of nature according to our aspiration. What a concept, that we're awarded our body according to our aspiration. That means that which is filling our mind. Therefore, one has only to change the aspiration during the course of this present body. The message that we are giving. We must change our aspiration, and for this there is need of training in the current duration of life. And Prabhupada continues a little later on. It is stated herein that one should give up all desires of family attachment. One must have a chance for better desires. Otherwise, there is no chance of giving up such morbid desires. Desire is a concomitant factor of the living entity. The living entity is eternal, and therefore his desires, which are natural for a living being, are also eternal. We must desire. To not be desiring means to be dead. One cannot, therefore, stop desiring, but the subject matter for desires can be changed. So one must develop the desires for returning home, back to Godhead. And automatically, the desires for material gain, material honor, and material popularity will diminish in proportion to the development of devotional service. A living being is meant for service activities, and his desires are centered around such a service attitude. Beginning from the top executive head of the state down to the insignificant pauper in the street, all are rendering some sort of service to others. The perfection of such a service attitude is only attained simply by transferring the desire of service from matter to spirit, or from Satan to God. So now, in the remainder of the chapter, which we shall discuss tomorrow, Sukadeva is going to give a prescription, which is not exactly his desire. But he's going to give or delineate a stage of detachment and self-realization. based on this principle, which is fully correct, that one must become detached from matter. And this is the goal, or part of the goal. Before we leave this body, we have to become detached from matter. It is in our interest. Because if we don't, all our attachments are going to cause us so much pain. Because we'll be still attached to them and we'll be forced to leave them. So how much difficulty, how much misery we'll have to experience, and how much those attachments will dictate our next body. So material attachments, cut. That is how Sukadeva is ending this section. And we will continue tomorrow. Okay, thank you very much, Hare Krishna. Any questions or comments? And if Krishna allows, we'll finish the chapter tomorrow. So we find it's so easy to laugh at others. I mean, it's not easy. I'm sure it's not easy. I don't mean to. But when we find things, something's wrong with us, it's quite frightening. And it's very hard to become fixed and determined in this. I'm not my body consciousness, that I'm Krishna. I belong to Krishna, and Krishna is all I have. Because the very nature of the body is that we're very, very attached to it. Practically speaking, we are our bodies. And if we are our minds, etc. We're not, of course. But due to the attachments, you know, we have quite a relationship going, so to speak. So the only way out of that is to somehow or another develop a very, very strong attachment to Krishna. That will make those material desires diminish. Prabhupada explained that in a purport at the end. If you're leaving a place, and you know you're going somewhere better, then you don't mind leaving that place. But if you're leaving a place but don't know where you're going, don't know where you're bound, or you're knowing you're going to a worse place, then it's very frightening. Or if you're not sure what's going to happen, just the fact that you're leaving, we don't like certain uncertainty, because by nature we're souls and we're longing for an eternal secure platform. The uncertainty is very difficult for the living entity, especially when one gets older. So the real challenge of life is to see that this world is the flickering. It is not real, in fact. And to start viewing the spiritual world, it's actually this world that is mythological. And that world is eternal. But how to see that? So not only do we have the direction that we should see it, but we also have the methodology that's been given. And what's that? Harinam Anukirtanam and Srimad Bhagavatam Shravan. Hearing Srimad Bhagavatam and chanting. And we should chant constantly. Get in the habit to know that there is nothing favorable in the material world other than thoughts connected to Krishna. So whether the good thoughts come or the bad thoughts come, we connect them to Krishna. This is the real challenge of life. Any other? Anyway, good comment. I just didn't want to criticize your mom. She had a good kid. Prabhupada said that, actually, that when the